Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark. Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number, 16. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's pray the Lord would just speak to our hearts this morning. And let's pray that God would just touch. And seriously, let's really pray for those who will be traveling this afternoon. Our staff and families of the staff will be traveling. Let's pray that God would give them a safe trip. Amen. Because of the weather there, pray God just watch over them, put the angels about them, and protect them as they go. And then also on the way back, that God would protect them. And let's don't forget our Wednesday night service. All it can, be here and be faithful. Be in your Wednesday night service to the for our, and don't forget to sign up. I don't think I mentioned that. Sign up. There's a sign-up list back there. Boy, Sister Kathy done a wonderful job fixing us a meal last week, didn't she? That was tremendous, tremendous. So I'm just looking forward to what she's going to fix this coming Wednesday night. And and you can't beat this. It's free. Amen. And so remember that. And so be a part. So make sure you sign up. It's on the welcome desk on the right as you go out. Make sure you sign your name there, family, and how many people will be coming. That way we'll be able to, she can have an idea of how much to prepare. And we just sure appreciate her doing that. All right, Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. And we want to begin reading with verse number 15. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
I'm glad to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is to know. And Brother Scott Caldwell done a wonderful job Wednesday night preaching the Word of God. Then he done a great job in chapel, a tremendous job in our school, in our college chapel. Just preached a wonderful message and stirred our hearts. And what a blessing it was. And we just so appreciate that. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. And we hardly ever do this, but this morning, if you're able, I'd just like for you to stand as we reverence God's word this morning. And I don't, when we don't stand, I'm not thinking we're not reverencing God's word, but just something different this morning I felt like we should do. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, and the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall be hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now you realize, you notice he says in verse 17, and these signs, and there are some sign gifts that was given in the Word of God. These sign gifts came and they left. Amen. Matter of fact, you'll see it when it looks at verse 17. It says new tongues, and it has, if you have some Bible has a note there about Acts. Now you realize on the day of Pentecost, they didn't speak in an unknown language. They speak in a known language, understand it. And what that was to get the gospel out. Matter of fact, all the known world, I don't know if you ever noticed that, but Acts, all the known world, all the world was there, represented there. The gospel went to all the world right there. So that's why we're not postmillennials. We don't believe that we're going to have to get the gospel to everyone, and then they're going to usher in the gospel. The gospel was preached to every nation on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Amen. As you study Bible. And so there's sign gifts is given. Those gifts came, and Paul saw those gifts left. Amen. And they've left. And so, but we realize as we come here, now we come to verse number 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. What a sight that would have been. And then he says this, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Help us, lead us, and guide us this morning. God, help us to preach the truths of the Word of God. Touch that one that's lost. Touch us, Father, that are saved. Help us to be more mission-minded when we leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. When we come here to Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15 is my text. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. And I want to preach on this thought this morning. Why preach the gospel? Why preach the gospel? And I believe there's reasons for you and I. First of all, I believe we want to preach the gospel because it says simply here to preach the gospel. Amen. And I'll get to that in just a second. But preach the gospel. When we preach the gospel, what happens when we preach the gospel? The very first thing I can think of when we preach the gospel, you know what we do? We reveal God's grace to a lost and dying world. We reveal the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not itself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you tell you, we need to realize that when we preach the gospel, we're preaching the grace of God has been bestowed upon mankind. There's no one in this building, no matter how wonderful you think you are, no matter how wonderful your spouse may think you are, no matter how wonderful your parents may think you are, we realize there's no one in this room today that deserves the grace of God. None of us are. Grace is God's. Somebody done a acrostic of grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's this morning. You and I, while we experience the grace of God, is because Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled, and he was the gospel. And he was the one that came to be the sacrifice, that he'd be the savior of the world. And you and I, because of the grace of God, the gift of God, you and I have the gospel today. So it reveals God. It reveals God's salvation. It reveals God's grace towards you and I. God's grace was given to you and I. Acts said this in Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither counteth my life near unto me. This is Paul speaking unto myself. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have now received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. This gospel is God's gospel. This gospel was planned by God. I'm trying to do a study on the Lamb of God. And when we think about the Lamb of God, you think about that first letter in Lamb, L. It was the Lord's Lamb. Amen. And I'm looking at that now, the Lord's Lamb. And he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The gospel, my friend, is God's grace bestowed upon mankind. If it wasn't for his grace, you and I would never be saved. If it wasn't for his mercy, you and I would never know the tenderness and kindness of God. We realize the gospel, to preach the gospel, is to reveal God's grace to you and I. Not only that, for the Bible says, so we can all quote it this morning. Matter of fact, let's just quote it together, John 3:16. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what the gospel does? Not only does it reveal the grace of God, but it reveals the gift of God, his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he was willing to give his Son for you and I. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved by the marvelous grace of God, if you've never received the wonderful free gift of salvation this morning, guess what? Jesus Christ has paid your sin debt. Jesus Christ has came and substituted, took your place. And you'll go to hell with your debt being paid if you don't receive him. Amen. It was a lamb. It was a lamb. It was the Lord's lamb. Amen. But that lamb was for the whole world. Amen. That lamb was for the whole world. He died on the cross that all mankind could be saved. That sin was paid for and all mankind could be saved. Jonathan Edwards said this about grace. He said, grace is but glory begun and glory is but grace perfected. How true that is. Oh, God's working his glory in our life. And one day that grace will be perfected in our life. And you and I will stand before him glorified. We'll stand before our Savior just as our Savior is. The Bible says we'll be like him one day, does it not? Amen. Amen. Martin Luther said this, the law works fear and wrath, but grace works hope and peace, or hope and mercy. And how true that is. Because of the grace of God, you and I have got a hope. Amen. Because of the grace of God, you and I experience mercy. Well, thank God for his grace this morning. I mean, grace should get us excited. We should be excited about grace. It's like, why? Because without grace, there would be no gift of salvation. D.L. Moody said this. He says, grace means undeserving kindness. It is the gift of God to man. The moment he sees he is unworthy of God's favor. And boy, I'm glad as a little seminary boy, I realized that I could not save myself. I realized I was a sinner. And I'm thankful that I realized that God could save me. Amen. And I cried out to God and just told God I was a sinner and asked God to save me. And guess what? He saves old sinners. I'm glad he's in the business of saving old sinners. If you're a sinner this morning, he's here. He wants to save you this morning. If you are saved this morning, he wants you to be serving him. He wants you to be involved in this thing called mission. He wants you to be involved in the active life of living for the Lord and being a light and being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believes this morning that you're a shining light? Raise your hand. You believe that people see in your life? Thank you. You're believing that people see in your life? You know the only reason they're seeing your life is because of the grace of God. Amen? Because of the grace of God. So why preach the gospel? Because it reveals the grace of God. Now another reason to preach the gospel, and some people when they preach the gospel, they try to leave this out a little bit. But when we preach the gospel, we also not only reveals God's grace, but we reveals man's sin. See, on a coin this morning, if we would pick out a coin, on one side, if we say it was a quarter, but on the other side would be the back side of it. And of course, now they got different states and different things. Used to, you knew what was on the back of a quarter, but now you don't. Used to, what used to be on the back of a quarter? An eagle. But now you have states on back. So you don't know which one. You pick one up and turn it over. Philadelphia may be on it. Georgia may be on it. North Carolina, but you don't know. Amen. But you do know this. There's the other side of the coin. And when we talk about the gospel, and we talk about the grace of God, and we talk about the gift of God, why did they need to be grace? Why did they need to be a gift? Why did something need? And it's just been said. Because of one little three-letter word. Sin. Wherefore by one man's sin entered into the world. And because sin entered the world, mankind needed a Savior. Mankind needed the good news. Mankind needed to know that they could come back to God. God, when Adam sinned, it separated mankind from God. Amen. We realize when Adam sinned, the Adamic nature that is passed on to all y'all, all of us have sinned. Wherefore by one man's sin in the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so whole mankind was completely doomed. Now there's a beautiful picture in the book of Genesis when Adam sees his fallen bride and she's partaking of that fruit. Adam could not bring her back to where he was. But you know what he could do? And he willfully done it because of his love for his bride, for Eve. He took of that fruit where he could be where she was at. And that's exactly the gospel. Jesus Christ could not raise us back up, but he came down to become one of us. And because of his sinless life that he lived, and he died on an old red cross, he paid our sin debt. That what? He might raise us up again. What a blessing that is to know. But it's all because of, why did he have to do that? Because of sin. 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 We live, it's very easy to see that we live in a world full of sin. I mean, wasn't it so sad to hear about that shooting? And how many people was it that was killed? I forget the, almost 60 people killed. I may get on the wrong side of somebody here. I don't mean to, but I think it's truth. Guns do not kill, people do. Amen. Amen. And you've got to realize that. And you can fall on either side of that fence you want to. That's between you and yourself and your Lord and this nation. But I think that's the truth. I think that's the way we should look at that. But you know why death came into the world? Because of sin. Because of sin. And the gospel shows us, really, man's sin. Because you know what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ? They lied on him. Amen. They came and brought false witnesses against him. Right? When they tried him, they came. And they make accusations against him falsely. And then not only that, we see in the gospel, when the gospel is the what? The death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the death in the gospel. That's what sin brought. The wages of sin is what? Death. Sin brought death. So even in the gospel, we see sin, we see man's line, we see man's nature there. I mean, and then man put him in the grave. Do you realize those around Jesus that didn't believe in Jesus heard his word better than his disciples did? They said, hey, he said when he was living, if he died, he would raise himself up again. So we want to watch. We want some people, some guards put down there where they won't come and steal the body away. Now, they didn't believe he would come back alive. But they felt like what? Deception. Those disciples will come and steal him away. See, that's what man is, deceptive. Deceiving. You know what they are? They're like their father, Satan. Amen. And so we see that they cheat and they steal and they kill. In the gospel, we see that. Why preach the gospel? Because it reveals sin to mankind. Now, I'll just say this very quickly, and again, it's not a politically correct thing today, but it's the truth. You'll never get saved until you realize you're a sinner. And I don't really believe you'll really ever realize you're a sinner until the Holy Ghost convicts you and shows you're a sinner. Now, we can be real careful here because, you know, the way God convicts me of sin and the way God showed me I was need to be saved may be different than the way he showed it to you. But if you ever realize you're a sinner, then the Holy Ghost has spoke to you. Amen. And showed you, do you need to be saved by the marvelous grace of God? But I will say this very quickly. You won't get saved just when you want to get saved. But you'll get saved when God deals with you and shows you that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. God could be showing somebody that this morning. There could be somebody here that's made a profession and that they know they're not really saved. There could be somebody here this morning that they know they're not saved by the grace of God. They know that they're a sinner. They know that sin is still living in them. I know the sin nature still lives in us. But I'm glad I've got a war going on inside of me. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Romans, there's a law of sin, and then there's a law of the Spirit that lives within us. Amen. And that they fight one against each other. This old flesh wants to do things, and then the Spirit of God wants me to do things. And I like what the old black preacher said. He said, the one that you feed, he said, there's a black dog inside of you and a white dog inside of you. He said, the one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. Amen. And the one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. Yeah. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to confuse anybody. Because you sin after you saved does not mean that you're lost again. Right. See, I'm trying to be very careful here. When you get saved, you're completely saved in the eyes of Jesus. Your name's already written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're already seated in heavenly places. You have eternal salvation. But guess what? Down here upon this earth, you're not completely saved yet. I knew that was going to go, When I say that is, when I mean you're not completely saved, you're completely saved in the eyes of God. I mean you're as good as already there. Nothing can ever, but that old flesh is still there. So you're not glorified yet. You don't have your new body yet. You're not been completely eradicated, if you will, taken away. This sin nature has not been taken away. It's still there. And we have to. That great apostle by the name of Paul, Saul, who was later named Paul, said this. He said, I have to buffet. That means to beat back, to beat down my body. I have to buffet myself. So if you think you're going to live this Christian life and not have a warfare going on, something's wrong.
Right.
Now see, I believe there's people that don't have warfares and there's really something wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You didn't get that. I believe there's people that don't have a warfare going on inside of them. Why? Because they don't have that spirit of the Lord, that law of spirit living within inside them. Amen. See, conviction is an evidence of salvation. Being convicted. I'm not talking about just as being saved. I'm talking about after you're saved. If you can sin and not be convicted, I'd really check up. And see, we don't preach that anymore in our Baptist churches. Now, that did not mean I would not sin. And it doesn't mean that you can't sin. But it means this, if you could sin and just keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning and God never deal with you about it, then you might check up because you may not be a son.
Amen.
The Bible, now I'm saying a biblical word here. This is biblical words. The Bible says that you could be a bastard and not a son. Now, we're just being serious this morning. You said, preacher, I thought we were going to preach on missions, and now we need to reach out. Hey, this is about missions. This is about the missions of your soul. Hey, missions is about people getting saved. And when we preach the gospel, it reveals the grace of God, the gift of God. But it also reveals that you and I are sinners and need to be saved. Preaching the gospel exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if I be lifted up, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, this morning preaching is not about me. If you notice, we give opportunities for other people to preach in our pulpit. You know, there's some preachers, the only people that preach in their pulpit almost all the time is just them.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have a special speaker in every once in a while, which is it. They just don't, and I say this as kindly as I can, they just don't think nobody can do it like they can do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all something real. This is a secret, but Bo, don't tell nobody about this. Okay? Don't tell nobody. I may lose my job.
Okay.
But I don't think I'm that much of a preacher. And I think a lot of people can do it a lot better than me. Amen? And I think it'll be a reward for a lot of y'all today, sitting in the church, sitting in Philadelphia Baptist Church for the last 16 years. There'll be a lot of rewards for y'all. The Lord will say, Lord, I gave you that guy down there. I thought y'all would run him off in a week or two, but no, y'all put up with him. But I don't think I'm the only one that can preach. And I definitely know I'm not the only one that God can use. And I feel like that God uses different men in different ways. So, everybody won't preach like I preach. I can't preach like other people preach. And different personalities, different ways people look into the Word of God, different things that they say, different mannerisms that they even have in the pulpit that God has made them to have, touches people's lives. I want God to be able to use all that. Amen. I want God to be able to use all that to touch people's lives. To have the whole counsel of God preached unto us. But you can notice sometimes, y'all good enough to notice, y'all smart enough. You can notice when somebody's preaching in the pulpit and it's more about them than it is about him.
Yeah.
We don't have much of that around here. And we don't. To God be the glory, those preachers don't come by much. Amen. But you've heard men, and it's more about it's more about them and what they've done than it is about him. So we need to get back to exalting the Savior.
Amen.
So this morning I'm proclaiming the Word of God, I'm preaching, but it's not my preaching going to get anybody saved. It's not my preaching going to get anybody saved. I couldn't even tell you what the preacher said when the day I got saved. Amen. I couldn't tell you what he even preached about. But I know the Holy Ghost said something to me. And the only reason you'll get saved this morning, the only reason you'll get saved is because God's speaking to your heart. I mean, do you know without a shadow of doubt this morning, do you know without a shadow of doubt, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Huh? Do y'all know? Y'all know? Do you know for sure? Amen. Bible says we have a notion of salvation. If you know, then you realize it's not about the preacher, but it's about the one that died on the cross for your sins, and we're all to be exalting the Savior.
Amen.
And the gospel exalts the Savior. Not Buddha. Amen. Not Joseph Smith. Amen. I'm telling you, the church of the living God ought to exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. But by me. Now I see some talking out there, and that's fine. I hope you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ is a serious thing.
Amen.
God will not share His glory with no one else. And if you want Ichabod wrote on the door, you start making Philadelphia Baptist Church about the ministries that we have. How wonderful, how many missionaries we support. That ain't what we are not having mission emphasis month before we could have 126 or 130. Matter of fact, a lot of times when I'm preaching off, I hesitate to say how many missionaries we have a lot of time. Because our church is not about how many numbers that we have. It's not about how many numbers we had in the house of God, even though I wish we had a whole lot more. It's not about that. It's about how much does Philadelphia Baptist Church, how much does Tim McCulley exalt the Savior? Now you say, preacher, how do I exalt Him? You exalt Him by how you live. You exalt Him by how much you honor Him. You exalt Him by how much you become like Him. Boy, when that Bible says, let us have the mind of Christ. What a mind. What a challenge. That Bible said for us to be the light of the world. That don't mean exalting us. That means exalting Him.
Yeah.
Pointing people to that shining light, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I preach the gospel, we exalt the Savior.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to hurry. You know, I hesitate to say this, but I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God, and I want to say it, but I want to say it right. Make sure I say it right. Sunday morning, I got convicted. I was a sinner. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell, Brother Tim. Brother Kevin, I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. But I'm afraid if we don't watch it, we can preach the gospel today. Instead of exalting a Savior, we exalt a place called heaven. See, missionaries have to watch this. They go to third world countries. They're preaching to people that lives in grass houses and dirt floors. And they begin to talk about a wonderful, wonderful place called heaven. And who wouldn't want to go to a place called heaven? But see, heaven is not the gospel. So you don't trust just to get to go to heaven. You trust Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's why repentance is involved in it. And people preaches a gospel with no repentance. Just get saved where you can go to heaven. And that is not the right gospel to preach. We don't watch it. We can forget what is the main thing of the gospel. The Bible didn't say to go preach about heaven. Go preach about our glorified bodies. And thank God we got all that. Now, man, I'm killing this thing, but I'm trying to be obedient. Thank God we're going to go to a place where there'll be no more death. Thank God we're going to go to a place where there'll be no more dying. Amen. Thank God for heaven. Some of y'all don't even like y'all going, but I thank God there's a heaven. I'm not wanting you to go right now. I'm just saying there's a place called heaven. Amen. Somebody call 911. I think some of y'all's dead. Y'all ain't even. But, there is a place. And thank God. But the gospel is about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We better exalt the right things. So we live in a society that exalts man. Brother Hub, we live in a society that exalts churches, ministries. But that's not what we're to do. Thank God for missionaries that take medicine to people and heals their bodies. Thank God for missionaries that carries food with them and they feed people that are hungry. But all those things are just instruments to get those people that they can sit there long enough to hear a clear presentation about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God that came from heaven, died on an old rugged cross, on the third day was raised again for our glorification, for our justification, declared us righteous, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for heaven. But it's all because of exalting the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up. You got many people that's preaching a social gospel today. A social gospel does not preach forgiveness of sin. They don't say repent of your sin. They do not preach the Lord Jesus Christ. They just preach about Savior. But when we speak about Jesus Christ, what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross for you and I. The only way we go to heaven is because of Him. We must exalt the Savior. Now let me give you, why preach the gospel? She's coming. Why preach the gospel? I've got two or three more, but I'm going to stop right there. Look at your text. And He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you why we want to preach the gospel, because it's a biblical command. That's pretty easy, wasn't it? I was going to really show you I was really smart this morning. Here's my smart point, because the Bible says so. The Bible says to preach the gospel. We say, well, that leaves me out. I'm not a preacher, Lord. I thank God He didn't call me to preach. Get a prayer and act like the preacher does. No. Oh, yes, you are. You're a proclaimer. He saved you that you might be a witness of the gospel. A witness of what? A witness of what happened to you. The witness of that day that Jesus Christ came in your life and saved you. Today, you say, preacher, I can't witness to people yet. Well, you can. I can't use Bible terms and Bible verses. Those will come in time. You probably know John 3:16. You know enough probably to witness without even having to be taught anything. But you know this, and you can tell them this. There's a day I realized I was a sinner. And Brother Hub, I bowed down somewhere, or I stopped somewhere on inside the road, and wherever it may have been, you got saved. Most people, a lot of people get saved in church. You don't have to get saved in church. But it's a good place to get saved. I went down to the altar and I told God I was a sinner and asked God to save me. I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to save me. I told God where I'd wronged Him, and however you want to look at it. You know what you've just done? You've just preached the gospel. I dare say those missionaries, as they go over there, they'll win more people. A lot of times they'll win a lot more people one-on-one, sharing their testimony and sharing the words of God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. you know what they're doing? Even though they claim they're preachers, I know, but they're just proclaiming what God done for them. Why preach the gospel? Lastly, because of salvation. People need to be saved. God knew what it would take. He chose the foolishness of preaching, confound the wise, I know that. But He chose you to be the light of the world. He chose you to be the witness to mankind. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. We're standing our heads about.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, that we can know for sure that we're saved. That heaven is our eternal home, Lord. We can go back to the time when You changed all of eternity, all of our eternal destination from hell to heaven. God, I pray You'd help us to be faithful in spreading the gospel. Lord, in the way and in the place that You'd have us to, God, we may not have the opportunities like somebody else, but God, I pray You'd help us to be faithful with the opportunities You give us. Lord, we thank You for our pastor. Thank You for the opportunity to be here in this place. Pray for those of us who will be headed out of town either this afternoon or later this week. Lord, I pray for our staff who's already gone. Lord, I pray You just give us a time for the school-wise of being taught and learning. Lord, I pray You bring us back here safely. Lord, pray for any other family who will be going out of town on our fall break right now. Lord, for those who are here, God, I pray You'd help to be faithful to Your house tonight. Lord, maybe not use any excuse to miss what You'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.